Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As the Flint water disaster has played out, one central question has always been, how do we keep this from happening again in Michigan? A joint committee of the state legislature was charged with answering that question. After hearing testimony from over 60 witnesses, the bipartisan committee today released a long list of recommendations. Michigan Radio's Lansing Bureau Chief Rick Pluta is with us now. Rick, break it down for us. What are the big steps the committee recommends?
Changes to Michigan's emergency manager law, changes in how the Department of Environmental Quality is supervised, even things like testing children's teeth when they fall out to see if they have lead in them. That's considered a very reliable way to check, long after blood tests are no longer useful to find out if children have lead in their system. Just a whole panoply of legislative proposals, most of which probably won't get acted on this year because we're just running out of time.
And even though the fact is this is a bipartisan committee, it's made up of members of the state Senate and House. Does that augur well ultimately for the legislature adopting these?
Let's dive into that a little bit, because this is a report put out under the letterhead of the Joint Legislative Committee, but it was really just released by the office of the committee chair, State Senator Jim Stamas. Now, his Democratic counterpart, State Senator Jim Ananick of Flint, did have some good things to say about the report, but this has never been formally adopted or voted on. We don't know if this is a majority view or a unanimous view or something else. These are basically a set of recommendations that Jim Stamas's office picked as being worthy of consideration to ensure that there aren't more Flints in the future.
So what does this mean? I mean, after this huge environmental disaster that drew worldwide attention, that they're putting out something that no one's really behind?
We don't know that, because there was never any, and we don't know if there is going to be a vote to adopt this report. So we know that this is what the chair of the committee thinks ought to be done, but we don't know whether or not that's a majority position, a minority position, whether or not maybe there would even be some kind of a minority report. We know that there's not buy-in to all of the things in this report, but we don't know how much buy-in on this committee there is. You know, this is being billed as a bipartisan report, and in fact, it is a report that is bipartisan in some of its recommendations, but not so much in the other ones.
There's also attention paid to state employees, is there not?
That is certainly one of the most controversial aspects of this, that the committee report, and Democrats will not go along with this, will not, just won't, does endorse House Speaker Kevin Cotter's idea to put a question on the ballot that would relax state civil service rules, that would require an amendment to the state constitution to make it easier to discipline public employees. And Democrats are saying that's a no-go.
Why is that? Because it hasn't accountability of people who mishandled the whole Flint situation been a key issue?
What Democrats and unions are saying is that it actually reduces accountability, because there were instances of public employees trying to step forward and talk about the problems with how things were going in Flint, and they were basically shut down by higher-ups. And so making it easier to discipline those employees would actually make it harder for them to step forward in cases like this rather than otherwise. Another controversial proposal that environmental groups are already taking aim at is changing how the Department of Environmental Quality is governed. People with long memories would remember back in the 1990s, Governor John Engler, a Republican, famously and controversially eliminated a lot of boards that had oversight responsibility over some environmental questions, and he divided the Natural Resources Department, the portion of it that had environmental protection responsibilities, and that director was appointed directly by the governor. Well, this would give that authority to a commission that would oversee the DEQ, and what the environmental groups are saying is that five of the seven people in this commission would come out of the industry side of the equation, the regulated community basically being allowed to choose the chief regulator over what they do. So that's certainly going to be a controversy if and when that gets put forward.
What's in the report for people in Flint?
Well, a lot of attention has been paid to infrastructure and replacing lead service lines. One of the things that they're saying is that partial replacement of those service lines should not be the common way to deal with that, that you have to replace the whole system in most cases, probably with plastic pipe, or not do it at all. Now, one of the questions about that is, how do you pay for it? Now, there is some talk about increasing water fees, because right now water fees don't cover the costs of the program. But there's a lot of infrastructure that we're talking about. It will cost millions, maybe billions of dollars. And there's no discussion in this and how all of that infrastructure will be paid for. That there's talk we will see action this week in the legislature on making Flint a promise zone so that it's easier to raise money so that kids in Flint can have an affordable higher education. There is talk about allowing them, this will also be voted on this week, to let them tax themselves about $500,000 to create an oversight panel on the recovery efforts and how that money is spent.
So here we have this 33-page report released today. Now what?
Now we wait and see what happens. How many of these things are moved forward? How many of these things are moved forward this year? And how many of these things are dealt with next year when the legislature comes back? That there are 35, 36 recommendations here, and that's a lot to get done with the few session days that we have left in 2016.
Michigan Radio's Lansing Bureau Chief, Rick Pluta. As always, thanks, Rick.
Always a pleasure, Cindy.
And with us now, one of the six members of the Joint Select Committee, Flint Democratic Senator Jim Ananick. Welcome to Stateside.
Oh, thanks for having me.
How satisfied are you with these three dozen recommendations?
What I've been saying from the beginning is that, you know, I'm going to be about getting results for the families of Flint. And I think the recommendations are a good step, you know, but the real key will be whether or not I get those recommendations into actual laws and actual public acts and make sure that we get it over the finish line. That's what I'll keep working on, but I think it's a good start.
What are the most crucial elements of this plan in your view?
Well, you know, the acknowledgement that the emergency manager and the culture created by the governor need to be changed and need to be looked at and need to be transformed, I think, is a good step. Obviously, lead and copper rule changes and oversight of the DEQ and citizen involvement and ombudsman's, you know, so there's oversight, you know, basically making sure that there's voice for the citizens. You know, I've always focused on three things, you know, it's public health for the residents of Flint, but of course the entire state, the emergency manager law reform and repeal, and making sure that the families of Flint get all the things they need for not just the short term, but for the long term. And I think this report is a blueprint to help, you know, some of that, and obviously there'll be more to do after, but it's a good start.
And what do you think it's going to take to get these recommendations passed? I guess I'm wondering how confident you are that the full legislature will take this and move on it.
You know, it's my understanding that the majority had a number of conversations with folks in the House, obviously House leadership, and I'll do the same thing on my side of the aisle. But I believe that there is, I believe this is a document that's meant to get passed and meant to be taken to the next level, and you know, have a number of steps along the way. And I think we'll. I'll be pushing hard to make sure that happens.
I know that as hearings went on over the spring, you were unhappy, very clearly unhappy, with the decision to not call Governor Snyder or the former Flint emergency managers before the committee.
Yeah, I mean, no question about it. If I was the chairman of the committee, it would have been different. There's no question about that. But you know, they chose to go in the more prospective route, looking forward. How do we make sure this doesn't happen again? And I think there's a number of recommendations to do that. I think you know, from a standpoint of the holistic approach to the Flint water, there was areas that I think were missing. There's no question about that. And I think you know, I would have started the committee earlier, and I would have made sure that everyone who was involved would have been before the committee. But you know, even with that being said, a number of recommendations are real positive recommendations that I think, if passed and when passed, will be very helpful to citizens of Flint, but also to the families all across the state.
Yeah, how do you plan to make this not just another report, something that will get looked at and talked about and then put on a folder, in a folder on a shelf?
Yeah, that's an important question. And I think one of the benefits is that it specifically highlights specific bills. So there's bills that are in place now and has bill numbers and sponsors, and it suggests that those bills need to be passed or maybe amended a little bit, maybe with some of them, but passed. I'm hopeful that we'll have some of them even passed this week, at least the Senate, and then we'll push to get a number of them passed before the end of the year. And, you know, when you put a report out, then that's a document to hold people accountable for, right? I mean, you put something out, you know, if it's just to get press, that's one thing. But I think when you put something out, I'm going to expect that those recommendations get put in place, at least the ones I agree with, which is many of them.
What does this report say first to people who work for the state of Michigan?
I think it shows that there was a culture put in place from the governor's office down that was about secrecy, it was about, you know, holding back information from the public, it was about, you know, sort of this Lansing knows best approach. And I hope it sends more of a message to the public that there was an acknowledgement that that's the wrong approach. You know, there's some mention there about civil service reform, which I do not support. It was no testimony in any way, shape, or form that suggested there was anything to do with that. That's something that there's going to be disagreement on, and I will not support that. But hopefully it shows to people all across the state, whether you work for the government or you don't, or you're just a person who's a citizen, that openness, transparency, oversight, and citizen involvement is a positive thing, not a negative thing that was treated in Flint for the last few years.
Senator, do you think these recommendations will encourage or discourage whistleblowing?
I'm hopeful that it will increase whistleblowing, and I think we need to do more to make sure that we support that. People need to come forward when they see something wrong. I think that we all learned, hopefully every citizen in the state and probably all across the world know, that there was people that knew about this and chose not to say anything. And obviously the criminal investigations that are going on, we'll find out why, and there'll be people held accountable for that. But I think it's in all of our responsibilities to make sure that everyone speaks up when something's as wrong as this.
And finally, what does this report and these recommendations in your mind say to people in Michigan and particularly people in Flint?
Well, the people of Flint have a long way to go before they have trust again. And I think this is a step in the direction, if we get these bills passed, of showing people that government should work for people and should protect people and then protect the public health. And these recommendations will help do that if we get them passed. And I'm going to fight to make sure that they are passed.
Flint Democratic Senator Jim Ananick, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And we asked to speak with Senator Jim Stamos, the author of the report. His spokesperson was unable to make him available before we went to air.